Quick heads up, we're going to be having an adult conversation about an adult topic. Just be aware of that. For any of my family members listening, you can go ahead and turn it off now. You don't want to hear it. I don't want you to hear it. I'll give you a minute.
I really wasn't sure how to do it. Like, how do you actually leave this culture that's been a part of your life your whole life? I just couldn't envision the practicalities of that.
For me, it was a real grieving process.
I almost view this like an act of a good Samaritan, helping people down a path that can be really painful and helping them figure out how to make it through.
I found this community, and I found a space that's normalized my experience.
There are a lot of people who have been down this path before you. There will be a lot of people coming after you, and it's okay.
There is a light at the other end.
We are not intending to talk anyone out of the church. This is for people who've already decided they've left. This is for the wardless.
You're listening to Wardless, a post-Mormon field guide, a podcast addressing the challenges and practicalities of navigating life after Mormonism, because leaving the church can be a little bit peculiar. Join us as we explore the path away from Mormonism and examine what it means to be wardless.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wardless Podcast. My name's Chloe, and this episode, I'm back with our guest panelists, Josh and Beth, for part two of our discussion on walking away from Mormonism as single, never married people. In this part of our discussion, we talk about dating, sex, and the awkwardness that ensues when you've been super Mormon your entire life. So now, we've talked about our backgrounds generally, but I'd love to go back and talk about what was your dating life like before leaving Mormonism. So maybe let's start with you, Josh.
All right. So I think I had a fairly typical Mormon experience in adolescence as far as dating. I didn't date till I was 16. Like one-on-one dates were forbidden, those sorts of things.
Got it.
After my mission, it was more like, I'm dating to get married.
Yes. And yes.
Suddenly it was a lot more stressful.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in an exclusive dating relationship till I was 27, I think. Had kind of a famine for a while, but then had kind of a steady, had girlfriends from then on, pretty regular intervals, sort of just lasting a few months kind of things. And for me, the real issue was that I had kind of diverged pretty far from Mormon orthodoxy in my thinking by that point, but I was still living in a community with very orthodox expectations.
Yeah.
And I was not being honest or transparent about where I was at with people. And that's a real impediment to relationships. But it was how I was living my entire life, really. And I look back now and I'm like, why did I date such orthodox, you know, people? I just thought that was who I'm supposed to be dating. These are the good Mormon girls, and it's me who's the problem. And so I rededicated myself to righteousness and went and was a temple worker, a veil worker, which is all I was allowed to be as a single person.
Oh, P.S. I didn't know that was a thing.
I think until recently that was a rule. But that kind of burst of enthusiasm ultimately kind of petered out and was a moment where I was just like, this isn't working for me. And so after that, I took almost like a vow of non-dating for a while. I thought, I don't even know where I'm at with the church. So what do I have to offer anybody? I can't commit to a temple marriage. I can't commit to a non-temple marriage. I'm just so on the fence. And so for a few years, I didn't really date at all. But finally, I think I kind of worked through needing to feel okay with where I was at and got to a point where I was open to that again. And that led to a relationship where I was able to be completely honest with somebody for the first time about everything. And that was wonderful.
Got it. So Beth, what was your background with dating?
Well, I spent most of, I guess almost 20 years feeling like I was just ugly and annoying and off-putting and intimidating. I didn't go on a date when I was a teenager. Nobody asked me out. I went on dates with 8 different people from age 18 to age 30. Like, most of those were first dates. Yeah. I had one-month relationship with a guy who was way too handsy and made me feel like I needed to go talk to my bishop because of his handsiness. And then I dated a guy for 3 months who was on his way out of the church when I was in my late 20s, and that was it.
Okay.
Yeah, men told me I was intimidating a lot. And it's hard to think of yourself as a different way when you have this evidence of people responding to you as if you're ugly and annoying.
Well, and in my experience, my whole identity being single in the church was wrapped up in I need to make sure that I am appealing mm-hmm. to a man. I'm going to give a little bit. I'll talk about my background as far as dating. And I was a lot like you. What did you say that you didn't do? You weren't in a relationship until you were 27, Josh. I didn't kiss anyone until I was 26. And I'm mm-hmm. and I'm putting that on a podcast. I feel like I've just taken back some of my...
I was 27 also with my first kiss.
Oh, interesting.
So I'll join the confession.
Okay.
I was 20. I feel like now that was young, but we were at the doorstep and I just wanted to kiss somebody. So I kissed him, even though I'd never done it before.
You just went for it.
I was like, awesome. Just get it over with.
I love it. So I didn't date in high school. I didn't date in college. I only started dating really at the age of 26. That's when I had my first kiss. And shortly after that, I met this guy online and he was so interested in me and he was interesting and intriguing. And I was 28 at the time, which 28 in Mormondom, like you're getting up there, right? Okay. All of my friends are married and having babies and you just feel like you just want to go for it, right? And so I went for it. And within like 4 weeks, I want to say, I was engaged to this guy, which it wasn't desperation, but it was definitely influenced by this desire to no longer be single. Thankfully, I figured out that it was a bad idea. And so then I actually was willing to branch out and date non-Mormons. I was a little bit scared of Mormons in general, and was able to start dating outside of the church. And then that came with its own set of issues, mm-hmm. namely that I wasn't going to have sex. I was still very active. I was still following all of the rules, and that was just not going to be okay. So those relationships, and I use quotation marks, they weren't relationships, were typically 3 dates. And then the novelty of dating the Mormon girl who's a virgin wore off.
Yep.
And all of those would end. And so that was my experience pre-leaving the church. So now let's get into what it was like when you first started dating after deciding to walk away from Mormonism. So maybe Beth will start with you.
So several months before I left the church, I met a man through OkCupid who I just clicked with immediately. And he even on the second date complimented how I look at every angle of stuff and poke holes in it. Like, what? You like that? You're not telling me it's intimidating? But of course, he wanted to have sex and I wanted to have sex.
Right. Of course.
And I wasn't going to have sex. So we split up and we didn't talk to each other. And I finished. I continued with my faith crisis and got to a point where I had made a decision. I don't know if I finished my faith crisis, but I made a decision to leave the church. And I actually contacted him the next day and he bought me my first cup of coffee. And right after coffee, he went with me to buy panties, which seems really weird. I guess it just speaks to how immediately comfortable we were with each other, with the chemistry, because even now I wouldn't do that with someone I'd only known for a month. But so he had seen me go through the faith transition. He knew what was going on. And that did make navigating the next parts easier.
Yeah, for sure.
Like sex and things. Okay, that relationship has since ended. And so now I really have to go out and meet people as a not Mormon person.
A former Mormon, yeah. Right? Because it's different than just yeah, a not Mormon. Yeah, that's true. I wish it were so easy.
I wish I could meet people as a not Mormon person.
And not a former Mormon.
Yes.
All right. Josh, what's your experience? What was your first, you know, just after you decided to leave, what was that like?
Well, I would say there's not as clear cut of a time of, you know, one day where I'm like,
yeah,
that's it. I'm taking my garments off. I'm out of here. It was much more of a slow burn.
Yeah.
So during the time when I was transitioning out of the church, I was in a relationship where it was maybe almost the inverse of what you were talking about, Beth, where I was pretty far out and was dating somebody still in the church. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful in so many ways, especially in the ability to relate to each other. She had her own doubts and concerns. And this was my first relationship where I was being fully honest with the person I was dating about my beliefs and everything. And there was a moment in that relationship when I sort of suddenly realized that if this woman I was with were interested, that I would have sex with her. And that was an astounding realization to me. It just showed me how little devotion I still had to the religion that I had dedicated my life to for so long. As it turned out, we did eventually end up having sex, and it was a wonderful experience. This was also a source of difficulty for us. She was at a different place, and that, in the long run, didn't work for her. So that relationship was instrumental in my really moving away from the church. I was already pretty far gone by that point. I was extremely skeptical, and it was the realization that with this woman who was so open-minded in so many ways, I could not make a relationship work. Therefore, I concluded I had no real future dating within Mormonism. And that was instrumental to me deciding also to leave Utah and sort of be pursuing this new path. And so dating never Mormon people who never were members of the church, has been very interesting.
Okay, we're going to go there in a minute.
Are we not
there? Yeah, we'll just stop with like that kind of...
Good.
It's kind of that first experience. So I was a little bit like Beth in that experience, in that I started dating someone when I was still in the church, navigating things. He was not in the church, but he was an ex-Jehovah's Witness. And so he got it. Like he got that I was still in the church and committed to this. And we were on our third date and we'd kissed and I really liked him. But during this time, I also decided I was going to double down on my Mormonism. Like I was in that space of figuring things out. I was the young women's president in Tokyo. I'm this leader for these young women, and double down. So we're on this date and he knows I'm Mormon. And so we have a conversation about physical boundaries. And I tell him he's never going to touch my boobs if we're not married. And that was the end of it for him. Like, right? So that kind of ended dating for us. But we still remained friends. And I really liked him. I really liked hanging out with him. And then when I realized, not so much that I was leaving, because I wasn't necessarily leaving at this point, but when I realized that I was totally comfortable not having those boundaries anymore, we started talking again and kissing, making out, etc., fooling around. And that was kind of it for the most part. It was just kind of this fun friend with benefits and benefits I didn't feel like I needed to confess to my bishop because I was still in the church. So in that experience, I think that started to lead me down the path of like, I can make these decisions for myself about what my boundaries are, what I'm comfortable with. I'm at the time 35 or 36. And you know what? I guess I can leave the For the Strength of Youth pamphlet behind because I'm an adult. Right?
Finally. Yeah,
when you're teaching young women, it's a little harder. So that was a big moment for me. It wasn't that I left the church at that point, but I definitely had a total paradigm shift in my relationship to answering to this priesthood authority about my body and what I was doing with it. And so it was kind of this huge transition at that point. So I think it kind of is a little bit of both, you know, relate to a little bit of both of your stories as far as that being such a big deal. So that was my initial experience with dating in that kind of transition space. And then I think what is so interesting, as I did research talking to different people and also just as we've talked about your stories, is it's such a different experience for different people. Just like, you know, when people are leaving and they're married and they go through a different process mm-hmm. of kind of what's next. So what I'd like to talk about now is what happened next. Mm-hmm. So Beth, with you, you talked about you're in this relationship now.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that made me feel like I needed to leave was that starting at my late 20s, my sex drive was ramping up so much, I felt like I was going to explode out of my skin. Like I was thinking about sex all the time. Yeah. So definitely when I decided I don't want to follow these rules anymore, I don't want to espouse these beliefs anymore, I really wanted to make sure I had sex as soon as possible.
I love the honesty.
You were wise, I think.
Yeah. And but it was also interesting because I wanted to prep for it. So I was looking at, like, what's it like your first time? And there's all these things that are geared at teenagers, like on the internet, everything's for teenagers or maybe a 20-year-old. It's all like, go to your student health center, and you know, and things that just didn't apply. And I ended up getting the most advice from those couple friends I'd had who had left the church before I had, and they were both single women. So I said, you know, I know we don't talk about this a lot, but can you tell me what it was like when you first had sex? And like, did it hurt? You know, all those questions that, yeah, I just needed the basics. And it seemed awkward. I think I'm still awkward with this, but like, how do we initiate this besides saying, hey, I want to have sex with you, which I have said because I don't know how else to say that. And then, but mostly just I needed a perspective from someone who is experienced with being inexperienced.
Yeah. No, I totally can totally understand that. And that's part of why we're doing this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So that to be a resource for folks who are going through this and maybe it can be a little less intimidating, awkward for them. Or maybe it'll be the same and they'll just appreciate that mm-hmm. they're not alone in it.
Yeah. And I think being with someone that I knew and I trusted and we worked up to it for like a month really helped. One of those two friends of mine said she didn't tell the first guy she slept with that it was her first time. They just did it. And I don't, for her, she preferred not having the pressure. That wouldn't have worked for me. I liked knowing that I was totally ready.
Yeah, that makes sense. And for you, Josh, you talked about with that last woman you dated while still thinking I can date a Mormon, you'd had sex. So what came next for you after deciding maybe dating Mormons isn't going to work for you?
What came next was trying to find non-Mormons to date.
Yeah.
And so it, similar thing of kind of opening up my Tinder profile or whatever to not have the restriction of just Mormons. And then through various dates and, you know, going out with people, just exploring that universe that I never set foot in before and seeing what people's reaction is when they learn that I have this Mormon past, you know, and trying to figure out what I think about alcohol or now that sex is an option, how quickly do I want to move that direction? All these boundaries and just basic preferences that I maybe would have developed in my teens and early 20s,
right?
I never did. And so right. Now as a mid-30s guy who's got all this other stuff going on in his life, I get to be an adolescent, you know?
And figure out your morality. Yeah. And
so,
oh my gosh.
And it's been very interesting. Just people do react in a certain way to learning that I have this Mormon background. And depending on where I've been at in my faith transition and what I've been able to say as far as where I'm at has influenced their response a lot. So when I've been like a little more wishy-washy of like, this is part of my background, and as if I'm going to hold on to it more, it's more of a concern, I think.
Yeah.
And when it's more like I'm clearly criticizing the church, or it's obvious that I've made this break from the church, then it seems more possible for it to be like an interesting part of my background rather than this real hindrance to the relationship going anywhere.
Yeah. I think as I was transitioning and I was no longer dating this guy, but we were still good friends and he was part of this process, I made the decision, kind of Beth to your point, that I wanted to have sex and I wanted it to be a positive experience. Mm-hmm. And here was this guy who knew what I'd gone through, who knew how weird it was to be Mormon. He could relate to it from mm-hmm. a Jehovah's Witness point of view. And so it was a very intentional decision. Mm-hmm. It was not a, like, in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. He came to visit me in Hong Kong. I told him I wanted to have my first drink with him. And I was like, and I want to have sex. And he like triple checked, even though I stated it. But it was just this very clear, I want to have this experience. And then I think about, Josh, as you're talking about the dating piece and how you present your past Mormonism, it really does make such a difference. I know, Beth, you're more navigating that now, mm-hmm. right? Because you were in this relationship for quite some time. But it's even two nights ago, I matched with somebody on Bumble and it comes up. And part of me, my choice is I generally bring it up because it's part of who I am. I think that's starting to maybe fade a little bit as I feel less awkward. But he checked for sure. He was like, are you done? Are you like
just recently had yes. a very similar conversation?
Yeah. And I get it. And it's not that it bothers me, but it also is difficult to navigate in terms of, do you tell people? Do you not tell people? What does that mean for sex when you tell them? I'm curious about your experience, Josh, as a man, and if you've had similar experiences with me. But I found that when I'm really open about how recently I started having sex, it can go one of kind of two ways. And one of them is you have a guy who's super excited to teach me things, which can be positive in that it's nice to feel like a man's taking charge. It can also feel a little bit like, here I am back in the patriarchy of a man telling me what I need to do and how to do things. And so it's really this strange, it's adding this whole additional layer to dating that, you know, dating itself is already kind of difficult, but then it's so difficult in this post-Mormon space. I'm curious, though, if you've had that experience as a man. Like, I'm really curious, is this a gender thing, or is this an inexperience thing, or is it both?
Well, I wish I could say that I've had enough relationships go that far since
I've maybe entered the difference that space, is I'm not going right? for the
oh,
relationship.
Just go for it.
I mean, I really don't feel like I have a good feel for it yet, because I've gone out with a number of people in this new phase, but it's never gotten far enough where at least I've been interested or ready for sex. And so
okay.
I've talked some about my uncertainty about that and just kind of mentioned that I hope I'm not sending a signal of like great disinterest by not wanting sex early, that sort of thing. But I don't have it figured out yet.
Okay. So What do you think is driving you to have those conversations or to, I don't want to say hesitate because I don't know that it's hesitating, but to take it slowly in that way? Like, I'm curious about what your mindset is.
It's just my vast inexperience. I don't know what I don't know, you know?
You don't know what you don't know about, like, navigating sex?
About how sex plays out in the dynamics.
Okay.
The bigger dynamics of the relationship.
Okay.
Ooh. I mean, I think part of it is I do feel like I want the sex to be connected with the connection in the relationship. And maybe I'm just still learning the ropes enough that I haven't gotten to the point in a relationship where I felt like that's what I wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And I've got to figure out if that's kind of a Mormon holdover or if that's just kind of part of my
who I am,
you know? And so that's something I'm still working out. So I think that's been a lot of the hesitation.
And I love just the recognition and the idea that we are figuring out, like, what is us and what's a holdover and what's holdover shame or guilt. And I feel like this is one of those things that's so unique to leaving the church being single. Like, yes, people have to figure out their morals and standards or ethics after leaving the church, even if they're married. But it's in a different context. Like, there's not all the pressure. Now, I think for, you know, maybe for teaching your children, fine, that has to come up. But it's so different for just being in it in that moment and figuring out, what does this mean for me? And it's been really interesting. And I think I completely have disconnected relationships and sex. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I could have a relationship where I have sex, but also I can have sex with zero relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's totally, I don't know. I'm almost shocked that I'm at that point, but I'm also not, like, I'm totally comfortable with it.
Yeah. I wonder if some of the things from Mormonism are coming in. Not only are you supposed to fall completely in love with someone and then have several rituals that are public before you can have sex with them, and you fell in love first, but there is also in young women and probably young men that idea that if someone wants to have sex with you, it's only carnal.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think sex is carnal and is pretty disconnected from a relationship or emotions.
That's so interesting to think through, because we are, like, kind of programmed, right? That that if someone does want to have sex outside of all of that other stuff, that it's just physical. Uh-huh. And so I totally do disconnect it. It's like it's just physical. And it doesn't really mean a lot of time. In fact, most of the time. I'm curious what you think it is for you, because, like, I don't feel bad about having sex. I'm curious, though, what you think it is, because it doesn't sound like you do either.
Well, so this is probably part of the relative truth, not black and white, everything's gray kind of thinking, is I never thought other people who weren't members of the church, or even if they were, I never thought other people were wrong to have sex before marriage. I just thought that's not something I'm going to do because I promise not to do it. But I never thought it was a bad thing in general. So I am trying to transition to give myself the same leeway and grace that I give other people.
And I guess I am, like, the opposite, where I'm still kind of judgmental. Like, even when it comes to dating, if I can tell a guy is, like, going down that path and he's the one driving it, I am like, oh my gosh, you're just after sex. If I'm just the one after sex, it's fine. It's like such a double, it's just this weird thing. And, like, I don't know why that exists exactly, but it's fascinating. But I really do. I still have this, like, fear and judgment when a man is, like, so forward about it. If I'm not the one, I want to be the one driving it, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this figuring out our own morality, because I think it's a really important question, especially, again, going back to kind of I think the church still wants me, as if I were still in the church, you know, in my 40s, to hold to like
celibacy.
Well, and for like for the strength of youth standards, yeah. Right? It's like this crazy thing. And so how have you, like, Josh, how have you started to figure out your own morality? What's that process been like as far as, you know, leaving the church and dating?
Well, I feel like the church kind of taught me what to do with the whole Garden of Eden story, right? We can only know by our own experience.
Yeah.
And at some point, I took a very, like, a very unorthodox interpretation of those scriptures and those teachings that we could stay in this paradise of ignorance our whole lives, or we could actually go and live and try things for ourselves and figure out for ourselves what seems right and what seems wrong. And I guess maybe some combination of hormones and like desire for truth combined to push me to just try some things, to try not going to church, to try sex in a relationship. And I think, honestly, that's probably the only way. You can philosophize about things, but I wouldn't have known that I could have sex in a non-married relationship and feel wonderful about it until that's what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like, that's a great way to figure those things out. What about you, Beth?
I know what you mean about now it feels like, well, there's no standards and everything's okay. So I really have just stuck to things that I read that are kind of like progressive about sex. So things like consent is important. To me, chemistry, like physical chemistry, is important. But it's really hard to decide for myself that any specific sexual thing is wrong. Probably partly because of the, like, everything's gray.
Yeah. What I found interesting is that I am so comfortable with these ideas of right and wrong, and it's easy to rely on that. That now that I'm out of that, I have to figure out what I want and what I don't want, and mm-hmm. I am not in touch with that at mm-hmm. all. And so there's been plenty of times when I've done things that maybe pushed my comfort boundaries, not in terms of right or wrong. I just, because I was like, well, it's not wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wrong, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And yet, no, I don't want to do it, right? And mm-hmm. like, it's been really hard to figure out how do I own that and be comfortable just saying, I don't like this, and so I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Versus I could always rely on, this is wrong, when I was Mormon.
And I'm
like,
not allowed.
It's so easy. Like, that's not my standard. And now it's like this totally different thing, right? To figure out those things. And I think it's 100% what you were saying, Josh, around you've got to like experiment. And I have learned how to cut myself some slack after I do something that maybe I decide, oh, I kind of wish I hadn't have done that, to just take a step back and go, okay, so I'm not going to do it again. Mm-hmm. Like, that's okay. So aside from the obvious, which is physical relationships that change when you're no longer holding Mormon standards, how has the dynamic changed in terms of dating for you, Beth?
So going from a small pool of guys that had a bunch of girls after them, and they weren't particularly interesting to me because they were too orthodox and too sexist, basically.
In your experience.
In my
experience. Let's not call them all sexist.
Yeah, no. Like, in my experience, that's how I saw it.
Yeah, that's how you felt.
And then I go to having men messaging me all the time on dating apps and being desirable. And suddenly I have the option to choose whether I want to date someone or not, instead of sitting around waiting to be chosen and not being chosen. It's different. It's super overwhelming.
Talk more about what's like overwhelming. Because I think the initial reaction that a lot of people would have, maybe not having that experience, is that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is on some level, but I'm with you. It's super overwhelming. So talk more about that.
So when I was dating as a Mormon, if a man who was employed and didn't have any obvious severe mental illness asked me out, I would feel kind of obligated to go, first of all, because I needed to encourage men to ask girls out by saying yes to them.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And then I also felt like, wow, I'm so lucky that someone who's not completely unacceptable in all ways is interested in me even a little bit. And it didn't matter if I was interested in him or if we had anything in common. So I, now that I get so many messages, I've gone on dates, like second dates, third dates with people that I had no attraction to whatsoever, but I felt like I was lucky that he was interested, so I should keep going on dates because there's nothing actively wrong with him.
So I relate to that on such a deep level, and hearing someone else say it versus me say it also just makes me really sad. Like, it makes me really sad because I think, like, I look at you and talking to you, you're smart and interesting and all of these things, and shouldn't have to feel like you're waiting around for some guy to choose you. And yeah, I agree with you. We're totally in the same boat, but that's really sad. And at the same time, I want to honor that, you know, we're females having that female experience and Josh is on the other side of it. And so I'm super curious about, for you, how has that dynamic changed?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm kind of on the opposite side and it changed in the opposite direction. I mean, at least in the Mormon world, I was a rarity, relatively speaking, to be a man who, and was sticking with Mormonism that late in his life, which is pretty uncommon.
And single men.
Yeah, and still single. And so leaving, in a sense, has lowered my relative position or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's not fun. On the other hand, I don't know how much of a chance I really had in that dating pool anyway, and ultimately decided I didn't have a chance there. So it's hard to go down from impossible.
And didn't have a chance in the sense that, like, not that there weren't plenty of women, but in terms of finding, based on what you said, in terms of finding a woman that you could actually be really authentic with.
Yeah, because my views were liberal enough, at least by Mormon standards, that to find somebody that agreed with me and hadn't already left the church was very unlikely.
Yeah. So in terms of figuring it out, what are you doing?
I think just dating a lot of people, as many reasonable people as I can find at this point in my life, is probably my best course of action. I, in a sense, have been isolated enough from the rest of the world that I need to do, I need to take time to come to terms with the way other people think and live and want their families to be like. In Mormonism, it's like feminism never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But now I live in Seattle, right? And it's not just instantly I figure that all out. I've got to go through the thought process that America went through over 30 or 40 years and is still going through, right? And compressed into a short span of time. And that's been tough for me, honestly. And that's something I'm actively working on. But I feel like actually being able to date and spend time with women who have different ideas from those that I was raised with is an absolute prerequisite to figuring that out.
Yeah. I just want to appreciate and acknowledge that you're this fairly progressive man, self-stated, right, in terms of your views on things, you've left the church, and even then you're acknowledging that you still were maybe 20 years behind the rest of the world, right, in terms of your views of women or relationships, etc. And I just appreciate that so much because it's hard to acknowledge those things when we come out of out of that state of being, especially because, to your point, it has put you at a little bit of a, I don't want to say disadvantage, but, you know, like, you've gone from being a hot commodity to now the flip side of that, which can be rough.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that I was in this winning in this numbers game or whatever, but it's I was the master in my understanding of the world of Mormonism. I had spent a lifetime there. I knew the ropes. I knew how the social dynamics worked. I knew the landmines that you shouldn't step on and all of that. But now I'm a neophyte. I'm just like a newborn in my understanding of the rest of the world.
Yes, back to that second adolescence.
Exactly.
So I'd love to go into now the part of the episode where we give our tips for navigating this. And so maybe Beth, starting with you, when you think about dating as a post-Mormon, what has worked well for you?
Well, I honestly read a lot of like Cosmo and other women's magazines that are focused at single women navigating relationships or Refinery 29, those kinds of things, because I didn't know how it worked. And those really helped because they're super basic and really easy to read. And I only have one dating profile because having more than one was too much. And then I set some filters so that some messages from people who aren't a very good match just go in another folder so I don't see them in the inbox.
That's why no one responds to me.
Yeah, well, because it's even the guys who do get in the inbox, it's too much. So I would say that really helped, filtering on the dating profiles, and then mostly just being open, because I've only been out of the church for 2 years. When I talk about something in my past, it always connects to Mormonism somehow. Like I can't talk about myself without it coming up. So I'm usually just honest about that. And for me, actually watching porn was helpful in developing my sexuality. They have how-to videos. If you go to Pornhub and type in how-to, they have videos that will show you how to do different sexual acts, and it's very helpful. And it also just helped me get comfortable with the idea of sex, because most of the people on the videos look pretty normal.
I think that's really useful if you've never watched porn and all you've seen in terms of sex is maybe what happens in an R-rated movie.
Yeah, and they're like,
it's not
so
the same
gorgeous
thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
No. They're just kind of normal looking people with jiggly parts like me. There's like
But I think that's so important, right? I think that's a great tip. Thank you. Josh, what about you in terms of, I know you're still kind of in the throes of figuring this out, and what advice would you give to someone who's in your same spot, right? Like what's working for you?
Well, so one of the main things I've struggled with is simply meeting people in a context where developing a friendship with the possibility of dating is even an option. So I've gotten pretty involved on things in meetup.com, for example, just a way to find people meeting related to different interests. And my advice would be stay away from the singles groups on meetup.com. At least that hasn't worked for me. It's been easier to meet people over common interests where it was that way in Mormonism. It was like, we already have Mormonism in common, but now it's got to be something different. We have rock climbing in common or whatever. So that's been something that's worked for me.
I love that advice just as I think about dating, especially online dating. It's so easy to end up matching with people who you probably, like, you have next to nothing in common with other than being single. Mm-hmm. And so I love just that advice around find this meetup group, especially because if your Mormon experience was such that, and this was not mine, but if your Mormon experience was such that you develop those friendships in the context of a singles ward first, and then you would ask people out, or then you'd get asked out, that's a really easy way to transition, just as you were saying, right? To yeah. have that common interest, start to build some kind of friendship, and then feel it out, right?
Exactly.
I think that's great. I think that's great advice, great tip overall. And my, I think what has worked well for me now that I've gotten here, because it took me a little while to get here, is to give myself permission to change my mind as I'm dating, as I'm figuring things out, that it's okay if something, if I was comfortable doing this sexually today and tomorrow I decide that's not okay, or as I figure out who I want to date, just giving myself the, basically the grace, I don't know if that's the right word, but giving myself really that permission to change my mind. What's working today may not work tomorrow, and that's okay.
Or to say no.
Or to say no. Oh my gosh. Or to say no. I think that's super important. And I think that's important for both, not just for women. I think we frequently think about it for women, but both men and women.
Oh yeah.
It's okay if you don't want to do something, if you don't want to go out with someone, right? It's just to say no, just based on your own feelings. Going back to kind of what I was saying earlier is we all relied on this right and wrong and everything was laid out for us. And so figuring this out is so much harder than I think people realize. I think in a lot of ways, based on some of the conversations I've had for my friends who are still in the church and single versus me, there's this idea that like, oh, now you're out of the church and it's so much, you know, the world opens up and you can just do whatever you want. And
well, yes, but do you want to?
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to figure that out for sure. And with that, we put out a call on Facebook and want to share a story from one of our listeners about his experience walking away from Mormonism as a single person.
I'm in my early 30s, and being single actually caused a lot of stress and pain and things over the years as I got increasingly older. And it was only about 6 months ago when the pain and depression and things that I had as I associated with the church caused me to take a step back and realize, hey, I need to take a break for my emotional health because I can't do this. And after that, my faith in the truth claims of the church fell apart. There's definitely an idea of feeling like a child or feeling like your life hasn't started. And I still feel like that, even though I've stepped away from the church. It's something I'm definitely working on. In terms of dating outside of the church, that's complicated as well. You know, there's the idea that maybe, you know, as we take church out of the equation, that things will get instantly easier. But that wasn't the case for me. Physical intimacy is an area I feel like maybe I do feel like a child a little bit because I have no idea how that works in a relationship and what people's expectations are and how to move things along or anything like that. And feeling like everybody else knows what's going on exactly, you know, of how things work and how relationships progress. And I know now that that's not the case, that everybody's different and everybody has their own baggage and expectations and preferences and things. But it's hard to bring that into your conscious mind and actually believe it. I also feel like inside the church, there's so much worthiness and self-worth tied up with physical intimacy and sexuality. And I was always a goody two-shoes, and being attracted and sexually attracted to people, I felt like, hey, I'm obviously not a worthy person. I'm obviously not going to be a good priesthood holder. I just did not feel worthy of even being attracted. I felt like that would make me unworthy of love. And that, I think, has carried over somewhat to dating outside of the church. I feel, at a subconscious and deep level, feel uncomfortable, very uncomfortable with it. With even thinking about that kind of, that aspect of dating in relationships. And I'm unequipped to do so. So I'm trying to figure that out. I feel a little ashamed, almost, of having been in the church. And it's hard for me to believe that I can be accepted after having a past that's different from a lot of people. One of my first dates outside of church, when I officially decided to take a step away, I was worried about seeming weird and awkward having been part of the church and dating people who were had no connection with the church. But there was this girl, and we met online, and we went on our first date together. And at the end of the night, we were talking really well, and I was actually able to bring up my story of the church and how it was hard to step away and how much it meant for me and how kind of awkward I felt and trying to put my life and my spiritual beliefs and things back together. It was meaningful, though, because she had was going through the same thing, but in the opposite direction. Her family was very atheist, very staunch atheist, and she was finding some spiritual stirrings and some spiritual meaning in her life and was trying to have those conversations with her family and be honest and open with them. So we were able to kind of meet in the middle and talk about things, and it was really meaningful. And it helped me feel like we all have different stories and we're all dealing with our different baggage and garbage and things. And it's really not a matter of presenting ourselves perfectly, but it's a matter of showing up and being able to take those steps and opening up of, here's the awkward, kind of weird, quirky things about me and the things I'm dealing with. And those kinds of things that provide intimacy and connection that are important and fundamental for a relationship. And it was important for me to kind of see that.
It's always nice to have another voice. Thanks for sharing with us and our listeners. So we frequently end our episodes by asking our panelists to share the one thing that they hope listeners will get from their experience or their story. So, Beth.
Everybody is super awkward. It's not just you. Everyone is awkward, being awkward with other awkward people. So you're going to be okay.
I love that. Thank you. Josh.
I guess I just hope people will, whatever people are going through, I want them to know that they aren't going through it alone. And there are many people alongside you, in a sense, in the crazy journey that you're going through.
The one thing that I would hope people get from this is that you don't have to have all the answers today or even tomorrow, because you can change your mind and that's okay. All right. I want to say a big thank you to both of you, Josh and Beth, for being with us today. I will say I was a little bit nervous even to record this episode because we're putting a lot out there and because I don't know that I've ever had this honest of a conversation or open of a conversation with other singles. So I've learned a lot. I feel very validated, and I just want to say thank you for being here.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for inviting us.
You're so welcome.
The feeling is mutual.
Great. I want to just acknowledge that we have talked specifically about heterosexual dating. We haven't covered anything about what it's like to navigate other types of relationships, and we know that. And so I just want to acknowledge that. And for our listeners, just a reminder, you can get in touch with us at wordlesspodcast@gmail.com or join the discussion in our Facebook group. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for Wordless Podcast. And as always, we want to thank our generous sponsor, the For the Strength of Youth pamphlet, Infantilizing Single Adults Since 1965.
You've been listening to Wordless, a post-Mormon field guide. For more information and for the show notes for this episode, visit wordlesspodcast.com. If you have a question you'd like us to answer on the podcast, a topic you'd like us to consider, or if you think you might have a unique perspective to add to an upcoming episode, we'd love to hear from you. And if you've found this episode helpful, please consider leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. But the most helpful thing you can do is share this episode with someone you know. So please share the love and pass on our links. Thanks again for listening. We hope it makes you feel a little less wordless.
I'm just saying, for me, it's been really weird, especially after my relationship, to square with the fact that I don't have to decide whether I want to run a planet with somebody before I sleep with them.
Wow. Like, well said.